Appreciate you guys that worked in some extreme heat yesterday to get lack of another fix to the church. Some of you may not know, but the drain was stopped up and water was backing up and it was leaking into the nursery downstairs. And it was molding, starting to mold and things and keeping the pump away, so they took care of that. And I appreciate that deeply. Darren had a little disaster on the way. He lost all his trailer on the interstate and came back to time. Thankfully, it didn't hit the only Florida. I know what the next valley is about. But I do appreciate you guys for that. That was a lot of work. And Brother Rex was down here about 9:30 or something last night with the air conditioning man. And was that at my college today or later?
I'm not sure.
Well, that's bad. He doesn't remember. That means it was late. But we appreciate that as well. So it's nice and cool in the back. You got that taken care of. That's a place. So, turn with your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll start reading verse 8. And we'll mention a couple things here. We find that everyone please stand on and read the Word of God. We say so often, the greatest thing we will ever touch according to our hands is that Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. Is everybody there? For Jesus had given them rest, and would he not afterward have spoken another day? For he made it therefore a rest to the people of God. He that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into their rest, lest any man fall after the same example of belief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is unmanifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again, God, for this day that you give us. God, we thank you for this gathering here this morning. Thank you, God, for each person that's here, God. It's not coincidence. It's divine providence, God. It's the point of the time for you that you had in the beginning of time, Lord. We pray, God, that you give the words needed, Lord, that you see fit, Lord. As we pray, God, your word is everything about you and everything about us. But I ask that you give me the examples that I need this morning. I pray that you give me the anointing, the unction, the Holy Ghost power, God, to preach as you see fit. God, I'm not anything. I'm nothing. I'm nothing without you. I need you to speak. God, I'm yours. You use me as you seek you. So we thank you for your praise. Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Have a seat. Here in verse 8, we start talking about the rest. He's talking about spiritual rest. And the children of Israel, in his example from them, had a pretty short walk to the land of Canaan. And instead of taking that short walk, they spent 40 years were in circles because of their unbelief. And God has also promised us a spiritual rest as well. Because of unbelief, we also oftentimes don't enter into that spiritual rest either. Right. Let me say this real quickly. No offense, any singers have ever sing this song, Bound for the Land of Canaan. I'm in Canaan now. The land of Canaan is bad. I'm not bound for Canaan. I'm bound for heaven. There is no more bad. Forgive me if I critique one of your favorite songs, but it's just the short of it, if you will. But they would still have to battle to get to their rest. And even if when they went into Canaan, 5 years later they took it, and they finally got there, but they still never did exactly what God told them to do. They kept missing the mark of being obedient to God. And listening to his word, what he spoke. And I think there's reasons why. But they took the word of God and they just kind of haphazardly accepted and received it. They didn't believe what God told them. He'd already done it possible. I mean, he delivered them from the land of Egypt. They were slaves. Hebrew slaves, they were under complete bondage to Egypt. Whatever Pharaoh said happened. There was no argument. There was no borders, a grand court, or nothing. I mean, it was law. And so God delivered them from under extreme poverty, extreme slavery, and he actually gave them riches when he did that from the Egyptians. And they went, they come to the Red Sea, there's a Red Sea in front of them, the Egyptian army behind them, it looked impossible, as you know, God parted the Red Sea, they walked across on dry ground, the Bible says. Not just the sea part, but imagine God rolled the sea back, and he held it there by the breath of his word, by the word of his mouth, and it held in place, and he dried up the ground. I don't think it was nothing. I think it was good walking. And when they went across on dry ground, the Egyptians said, we'll just follow them. And you know that the water's black from the Egyptian army. And that's what happened to the Egyptian Empire. History is a secular history to teach you what they want. It's lies, most of it. The fact is, God killed them. There it is. I gave you world history right there in a nutshell. But they went on then, and after seeing so many miracles, so many things, they still had unbelief and never entered that rest. As Christian people in our day and time, we have a spiritual rest we can enter into, but if we have unbelief in our hearts, we will not get there. God has a choice for you and I. Once we are saved, is to believe his word, or kind of go at it like, well, maybe hope to think so, but simply go to what the word of God says or walk with that, knowing that it will be fulfilled as God said. You don't have to worry about God's end. He will take care of his end. We got to worry about ours.
Yeah.
So we don't enter into that rest. That's not the message, but it's the preview of it. Then in verse 12, I believe he tells us why we don't enter into that rest. But he gives us one of the reasons. Notice what he says. He says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. One of the most difficult things for humans to do sometimes is open up and show what's inside them to another human. And unfortunately, we do the same thing with God, and we think we're hiding things from God, but in reality, he sees it.
Amen.
And the problem is, when we think we're hiding things from God, that is a form of unbelief and disrespect to God, and therefore God sees that, and he says, I see what you're trying to hide. I see how you don't believe me, how you don't trust me, and it affects our walk with him. And you will never, ever find a real spiritual rest until you come to the place where you trust God above and all beyond everything, and let his word work in your heart, in your life like it's supposed to. This morning in Sunday school class, a couple of people spoke up and said things, but running loud, they just did not have any idea what I was going to preach. My Aunt Janet said that every morning she puts on the girdle of truth. She said, but I have to let the truth guide me and direct me. I have to obey the truth of God's word. If you don't obey the truth of God's word, then guess what? It's of none effect.
Right.
So I must do that. Let me ask you some questions and then one more of an introduction here. How many of you have kitchen knives? Let me try this again. How many of you have kitchen knives? Everybody in here, right? Do you like a dull kitchen knife? I'll do one of two things with a dull knife. I'll either sharpen it or it's gone. I want another knife I can't sharpen. The most dangerous thing you can get a hold of is a half-sharp knife and try to do something with it. It's dangerous because you have to try to force that thing through. How many of you like to slice potatoes with a dull knife? It's not fun. It's actually dangerous. You've seen on commercials those GMC knives, they take them. Anyway, they build houses, that thing, and saw nails into them, trying to cut up the ladies, you all right? But they go on about these sharp knives and how sharp the knives are. And church, what I want to ask you this morning is, how sharp is your sword? How is your sword sharp this morning, or is it dull? One of the things that would dull a knife is if you let it lay there, and you know what? You can take a knife and wash it in the dishwasher, and it will dull the knife because that water beating against it takes off that edge of that blade. It cleans it, but it dulls it. So what we must do then is take that knife to a stone of some kind, a sharper, and sharpen that knife back up to make it usable. And the problem with our lives is our swords are not sharp. I got to watch. I'm getting my tongue tied there. Because we don't sharpen it with the Word of God. This is the word sharper here. And the problem is, another thing that about a knife, if you don't use it very often, you'll be very good with it. You know, as a child, I cut myself all the time with a knife. And I learned after a while, if I'm smart, I won't take that knife and bring it towards any part of my body because the results are not very fun and it's painful. It hurts. So I learned that the best thing I can do is make sure I always cut away from myself. Use that knife properly, and I learned to keep my knife sharp because without that, it will not be effective. It's dangerous. You know one of the most dangerous things sometimes in a Christian's life is when they think they know something about the Word of God, they start teaching somebody something about the Word of God, and they are wrong because their life is dull.
Hey.
I got to look at somebody. The amazing thing about the Word of God is if I have a knife, which I don't have one this morning, still in my pocket again, you know, no, it didn't. But if I had one, I could take that knife and I could lay it down. It's there. It may be sharper than anything. And it's perfectly shaped. It's perfectly balanced and weighed. It's the greatest knife there was. But if I never pick it up and use it, it's just an instrument that lays there. It's nothing but a decoration. Too much of the time, our life is spent not using the sword because we don't pick it up and use it. We're not familiar with it. And the more I use it, the more familiar I get with it, the better I know how to use that thing. And let me tell you something, there's weapons in our life. If we never use them, they are useless to us, and you can't expect to pick it up and use that thing properly without ever practicing.
Amen.
How do I learn not to cut myself correctly? By using a knife.
Right.
I let Groom here one not too long ago grab a hold of a knife and start cutting something, and I watched him. The first thing he done was I'm going to give it this. A little quick lesson, because it's natural. I said, how do you use a knife? You always cut away from yourself. Always. Now, this particular knife doesn't work that way.
Amen.
As I take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and I go across this congregation, it's two-edged. It cuts you, and it cuts me.
Yeah.
All at the same time. Now, let's look at some things in the Word of God here as we go. Another thing about this Bible is a knife is no good standing alone by itself. This Bible can stand alone by itself. It doesn't need any help. If the Word of God was breathed out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, we have His autobiography. God spoke this Word into existence. He used human writers inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this Bible, to write every word. If you will, there was nothing more than a typewriter of God. And they pinned this down. 44, 45 different men in over 1,500 years' time in 1,500 miles apart. And never knew each other. That was alive in different times. 1,500 years was a long time. And yet it fits together perfectly. You tell me that that's coincidence. You want to tell me that this is man-made and fabricated? There's not another book in the history of the world that can compete with that. There's not another piece of literature anywhere that you can find that falls under that kind of criticism, ridicule, and examining like this Bible has. And it's passed the test every single time. Why? Because it's the Word of God. It's Jesus spoken. It is here for us. It is sharp and powerful. And God gave it us to use. But the problem is we leave it in the sheath. We don't use it. It stands alone. It doesn't need any help. It helps us.
Amen. Amen.
This Word of God does some things for me. It keeps me. It guides me. It directs me. It teaches me. It sometimes it rebukes me. Sometimes it exhorts me. And the amazing thing about the Word of God, it will absolutely take in a matter of moments. It will take and cut you to pieces. It will spread you up one side down the other. Then all at the same time, God will take the same sword and start piecing you back together. Patch you up the wound. Thank God what this Bible does for me. Hey, it's God's Word and it's everything I need in life. It's what I'm looking for. It's what I need. It's what I desire. It's what I hunger for. It's what I want. I should love it. I should spend time in it. I should learn to let the Word of God grab me, mold me, shape me, and hold me. It should do everything it needs to do in my life because I love the Word of God. Revelation 1 and 16, the Bible says, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth put a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance as the sun shineth in his strength. You know what he's talking about? Talking about Jesus speaking. Some people say there's a living word and a written word. They say Jesus is the living word. This is the written word. I believe they're kind of all one and the same. Yes, they are different, but they're one and the same. You're not going to divide the two. They go together. And I tell you the Word of God, while calling what God wants it to, you will not read the Word of God. If you read it and let it grab a hold of you, will come out the same. You will change. It will change you. And I'm telling you now, it will do what God intended to do if we only had a sharp sword. There's nothing wrong with the sword. It's not the problem. Second, Thessalonians 2 and 8. It says, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Which, what do you think that is?
Right.
The Word of God. The Bible says this will stand when the world comes to an end. Hey, when the world's gone, the Bible was saying the words Jesus spoke will be here forever. They're never going to die. They're never going to go away. They've been works of literature. Sometimes those great works of literature are forgotten by the time. But this is still the number one bestseller. Nothing will ever compete with the Word of God. So let me ask you again, how sharp is your sword this morning?
Yeah.
I heard a message preached a few years ago about David and his mighty men. But one of the things they was familiar with their sword. You know, our military is pretty large. Jimmy was in the Army, Navy. Am I right? Army? Okay, I don't know why I thought Navy. Was you in the military once?
Marines.
I knew there was something about you guys. So we got a Marine and two Army veterans. Scott. Hartwell. I was looking good that he was. Just these few among us right here. What is the number one basic thing? Your basic MOS, no matter what your specialty was, what you always train back to be. Bang, bang. At the end of the day, if they needed a body to cut down in front of Charlie, you was going to become that body. No matter what your specialty was, and I'm correct in saying it. I'm watching. But thank you for reminding me. I don't want to crash the camera. So, one of the first things they taught you in basic training was to how to fire your what? Because if Charlie comes at you, you got to be able to do what? Fire your weapon. If you don't know how to use that weapon, is it any good? It's useless, right? So, could you imagine taking a bunch of 19-year-old kids, we bring them all in on buses, we give them all their gear, hand them their gun and send them to war. In a week's time, they go from eating pancakes while cooked to being in foreign lands that we're fighting. How long did that war last? My brother, when he was in the Army, he said some of the people that came in, it was his job to get them their gear and watch over stuff. He said there was kids that came into the Army. He said it was amazing to me what they couldn't do. He said it blew his mind. They couldn't even hardly function outside their own cells. because they're so dependent upon their parents. Now, if we train our military with weapons to use, and they go to war with weapons, knowing how to use them and expecting to use them properly, what in God's world is wrong with the church when it will not train itself to use the weapon properly? Well, if you know you was going to be attached to go to war, you're going to burn. You're going to pay attention to what your instructors tell you. You're going to figure out real fast if they have to try to keep you alive. And you're going to do what is told. But we take the word of God somehow and think we can go to war and leave it laying behind. But wonder what is wrong. I'm going to tell you what's wrong. Our swords are too dull. We don't know our weapon. We're not familiar with it. We know nothing about it. And because they sat on the shelves and the dirt pews, sometimes people leave their Bible here and don't know how they pick it up until they come to church and go home with what the preacher reads. And if you leave one here, hold on. But they get familiar with the Word of God.
Amen.
Are you familiar with your sword? That was our introduction. I will preach. Number one, he says, for the word of God is quick. I'd say it's pretty swift, wouldn't you?
Yes.
It's pretty swift in its actions. When the word of God pulls out and it cuts, I'm telling you right now, it cuts instantly to the bone. You know, you can put a cross in front of me, you can put your false face on. We got the church, and we put our church gear on and our church outfit, so to speak. But we look like we're living for the cross. Everything's good. God's great. Praise God. Everything's wonderful. We walk out the door, it's a mess.
Yes.
And we know we are. We go home, we do our best to get through the week to try to survive and just make it through. Excuse me. I hope I didn't make Facebook. And make it through. And we get through this life, but we muddle through everything. And we therefore we go along and we wonder why. Sometimes things happen. We don't have the answers. God, as we said in the past, God doesn't speak of the burning bush anymore. He speaks of this right here in Ephesians 6 and 17. He says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How much do we take the sword with us? How much are we carrying our Bible with us? How much Bible are you carrying with you in your heart? It's swift. It means living. When the word quick there means living, it is alive. You see, it is the only weapon that will cut and give life.
Yeah.
Anything else that cuts, it takes life. But the Bible will give life. It will take things from you that doesn't need to be there, and it will turn around and build the things that needs to be there. And God will use His Word, as I said, to cut you quickly and swiftly, and it will do what it needs to do if we only allow it to enter our heart. But the Word of God, sometimes, no matter how much you resist it, no matter how much you fight, there'll come a time when God's Word will finally pierce through everything that's inside of you, and go right to the soul, and no matter how much you fight it, it will find its mark.
Yes.
It will reach its intended target. There have been times in my life that I thought I was stronger than God. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Don't look at me like I'm happy. And I thought I could out-strength the muscle God. My conscience won't bother me and this and that. I'll be all right. And I found out later that it don't work like that. But God is much stronger than that. He will take His Word. He will drive it straight into the place, it needs to hit. And it will hit its mark.
Yes.
It's living. It's quick. It's swift. Number two. For the Word of God is quick. It is swift. And it is powerful. I said another word we could say, it's swift, it is strong. Man has invented bombs. I've said this many times. We've got bombs, we've got all kinds of machines, we've got things to create things, tear up things, and tear down things, and God can take nature to more destruction
than
we're not even man or ever be able to do anything else. Jesus said, I came to the world to save sinners. He also said, I will basically, if you laugh and put it in good old country terms, he said, I will divide families.
That's right.
And he has.
Amen.
You take certain nationalities of people, and I've said this before, you take a Muslim, and if they get saved, their family will oftentimes, not just to certain man, they will kill them.
Right.
You take a Jew, they get born again, that family has their funeral, they're dead. Let me tell you something. This Bible will kill a sin in your life, or it will kill the Bible in your life. What the truth is going to do, and if you don't let God have His way, that sin, your sword will get gone. And before you know it, you're in a mess, and you're in a world of hurt. And not only are you in trouble, but God is saying, now I'm going to have to deal with you because you've been disobedient, disobedient. Your life is turned inside out. You wonder what's wrong. Sin is what's wrong. Your sword is dull.
Yes.
It's powerful. Word powerful there means mighty, energizing. I'm going to tell you something. There's times in my life that I needed some energizing.
Amen.
There was nothing anybody could do to tell me to help me. No matter how much they prayed for me, no matter how much they held me, no matter how much they was there for me, nothing can do for me what this Word of God did for me. Nothing can help the way this Bible helped me. Nothing can sustain me the way this Bible sustained me. It was everything I needed. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the Bible says, they that would walk worthy of God, who died. I got the wrong one there. For this, hang on a second. 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, it proceeded not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh. Also, many of you that believe, he took and preached the word of God to the Thessalonian church. They believed it. They received it. How much of the time do we sit on church pews? The man of God gets up and preaches, and we take find some way, somehow, to reject some of what he preaches so we don't have to change our life.
Right.
So we have to offer our lives for God. We want to live how we want to rather than the word of God work in our heart and complete us and give us what God wants to give us and allow us to be obedient to him and honorable to God. Are we honoring God every day of our life? And how sharp is your sword this morning?
Yeah.
How sharp is it? Number 3. Let me say one more thing about that one first. When he says powerful, it is awakening. It awakens the conscience. It alarms the fears in our life.
Amen.
It lays bare the secret feelings in our heart. It devours all that is before it.
Amen.
I guess germ warfare is probably one of the worst inventions man has ever come up with. It's awful. I've seen pictures and movies of these countries that have actually used it on their own people. You see what it does to them. It's terrible. And I don't know, maybe I've watched too many movies, but a lot of times, if I'm right, soldiers will carry an antidote with them, anti-serum. Sometimes it's in the form of a shot. Am I correct in saying that? Because you've been, you know, you was last few years in the military. And you have to get that shot in the right place at the right time. It's not effective. You know the amazing thing about the Word of God? Is it's never out of time and it's never out of place.
Amen.
It'll always reach the intended target.
Amen.
The problem is why God can't work in our life because our sharp sword is too sharp because of sin in our life and unbelief. We don't have a spiritual rest. Because we're not allowing the Word of God to work, we're not familiar with it, we don't use it, our sword is dull, and we don't have the knowledge of the Word of God to use when the time comes. Folks, God's not going to write the exact scriptures in your mind if you don't put them there when you need them.
Amen.
One of the hardest things in our life is to take this Bible. Open it up and realize how filthy and wretched and wicked we are.
Right.
How awful our sin is. Sometimes in my study, last night I sat there and I was looking at this. And I couldn't, but I started really looking at myself. I said, God, how in the world have you put up with me? I'm so wicked. And compared to the Word of God, when I compare myself to God, I put my mirror in front of His mirror and I say, okay, how do we measure up? I don't measure up to you. One of the hardest things to do is let this Word of God bare open, naked, my soul before God, and let Him examine me and show me where I'm wrong, where I'm sinful, and where I think I'm okay and I'm not okay. Hey, when's the last time we made the Word of God speak to our hearts?
Yeah.
How long's it been? Lastly, I'm done. Word of God is swift, it's strong, and it's sharp. It's just a sharp, 2-edged sword. Pierce needs to divide and asunder the soul and spirit, You know, the soul and spirit, he will take and divide them with the word of God. And he will show you your spirit where it is wrong, where it is prideful sometimes in your soul that God saved. Thank God he saved my soul and they're in conflict. And he'll show us where the divisions are in our life. He will divide us and show us how to unite all the same verse.
Amen.
He said, another joints and marrow. You were open before him. You can't hide anything from God. We think we can, but then we don't. And the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, watching there on Facebook, whoever may be there, hopefully a few people anyway, sitting here in this church. While I've been preaching, you've had different thoughts go through your mind. You're human, so I get it. Sometimes your mind wanders a little bit while I'm preaching. I may get on something, your mind will go to a memory of a scene you committed. It'll go to a time with God that you didn't obey. It'll go to a time with God that you should have obeyed. It'll go to a time that you did obey. So many thoughts. Hey, I'm human too. See, I'm just like you all. My mind does the same thing. And we think of these things. But what that's doing, that's the word of God piercing inside of you and sometimes cutting you and hitting its affected target and its intended target. And he knows what you think about this message right now. He knows how much you rejected and how much you have accepted. You see, it's not me you rejected.
Right.
I'm not the one that you reject. It's God and His Word. The problem's not with me. It's with God's Word. If I get up here and ramrod and beat thump, glass, and bang and tell you I don't need mayonnaise or nothing because it's evil and sin, I can't back that up with the Bible, although I think I can. But if I'm preaching the Word of God, the best of my ability, and you start feeling some uneasiness, it's not me, it's the Bible. It's Holy Spirit speaking to your hearts of the Word of God and saying, here's where you need to step up, here's where it needs to change, here's where your sword's going, here's what's wrong with your life. You know, we're so sharp. It cuts all the way in a single slice. I've chopped down a few trees with axe. I don't like to do that anymore. I'm not 13. I like to pull the lever, listen to that loud roar, and go into it and watch chicks fly. But as I cut down trees, I was cutting down recently in the cemetery. Some guy wanted it down, and I took the axe to it, and I put it on the ground. About halfway through, I looked at Chris, I said, this is a bad idea. I said, I don't like this right now, but I had to finish because I was only starting. And there's times that we take and have to chop things. But the Word of God will absolutely slice and cut exactly straight through the first try.
Amen.
The problem is, because we're dull, we don't always feel the cut. Because the dullness and the hardness of our hearts, God has to keep cutting and keep cutting. The Word of God doesn't stop. We don't stop. We think we do, but we don't. But He'll keep cutting. And eventually, after a few cuts, we'll go, why did I listen?
Yeah, right.
Why did I listen? Now there's more damage, and there's more to try to fix. And the Word of God will put it back together. Sometimes there are scars on that sharp edge. I tell young people all the time, there are scars on my life and on my heart from sins that I committed as a young adult and teenager. But I didn't think it was going to cause any harm in my life. And I had one and said, what do you mean by that? I tried my best to explain it to her. I said, here's probably the saddest part of it. I said, one day you'll look at me when it's too late and say, I understand what you mean now.
Right.
I said, I don't want you to understand what I mean. I don't want you to understand. I'm trying to prevent you from understanding what that's like. So much of the time, you can preach. I'll be honest with you, I thought about the sins youth service. I should have had you to preach so you could preach your soon-to-be wife for one last time. Just bring her back and let her fly in the pastor. see if she's real or not. Make sure this thing's going to work. I mean, just turn it loose, brother. I thought about those high school graduates, those teens we lined up right there to preach to. Maybe one or two of them, I think, it's took when I preached. Three maximum. The rest of them, I'll get later, preacher. The day's going to come, and we'll come back, and I will say, I wish I listened. Oh, how I wish I listened. I'll tell you something, the pain of sin will never change. The consequences of sin will never go away.
Amen. Amen.
Will never, ever change. I'm finished with this. In Acts 9 and 6, we find the Apostle Paul walking on the road to Damascus, 9:40. Jesus spoke to him. It says that he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What that is in those days, they would have a board behind the horses. They would put spikes, wooden spikes coming out behind that board, and they would kick and be mean and grouchy. They'd kick those spikes, and then they'd very long to quit kicking. If we're not, that hurts. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. You see, the word of God instantly took and brought Paul from a man who thought he was really something to somebody, had the Old Testament memorized, had a place of power, a place of political position, had a place of authority, and it instantly put him on his knees. Instantaneously. And then that quick, God changed his life. God's word spoke to his heart, broke his soul, broke his wisdom, broke his knowledge, showed him he was lost and dying without the Savior on his way to hell. And he knew there had to be a change take place. And he believed, he repented and believed on Jesus Christ right there on the spot. Now, the question is this. What has the Word of God told you lately that you didn't know before? Where's the Word of God cutting in you? Where has He sliced you lately that you tried to just ignore the pain, ignore the cut, ignore the sword? How much do you know the Word of God? Men, let me speak to you just for a minute. You want to be a leader? You want to be respected and honored by your family, by your friends? You better start getting your sword sharp.
Right.
You want to protect your wife? You better start learning how to pray for her and how to honor her and lead her and direct your life. You better have the answers from God, not have to go through this life hoping to get it right and leaning on her to make decisions. That's not what the Bible teaches.
Right.
It teaches men to be men, and it's time for men in this church, some of us, gets a little bit closer to God and learn a little more about this Bible and let it do what it needs to do in our lives and our families and get right with God and honor Him and let Him direct us. Hey, man, how about it? I've had nothing to sword sharp.
Amen.
Or is it dull? Is it cutting? You just try to ignore it. One of these days, God's going to cut. We're going to wish you to listen. As we stand, we get a song. I don't know in what ways God may have spoken to you. Some people here this morning, I don't know. I don't know who's saved and who's lost. But I can tell you this. God wants to take and use you for His glory and honor. And that is the best place we can be in life. And if you're lost, God wants to save you. You know why He came to earth? You know it's important that we use John 3:16, the Bible says, God sent His only begotten Son. God so loved the world that sent His only begotten Son. Whosoever lives in Him shall not perish but everlasting life. You see, begotten means undependent. There can never be another, but only be one. You say one another means the same thing, no, it doesn't. Begotten. And God sent His Son to die for you and I. a death that he didn't deserve, a death that he didn't have to give, a death that you and I should receive. Because he loved us, he died for us and gave his life for us. And this morning, you had the opportunity to be saved and experience the gift of salvation that a lot of people on this earth never even hear the gospel. Jesus came and broke his sinless life, completed the law. He lived the law to the T. Never one time before he saw was nailed to a cross, hung there naked for the world, you and I. Shed his blood, rose again the third day. And all you've got to do is believe on that and repent of your sins and God will save you in an instant. We often say, accept Jesus. Now, I guess it's true. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, thou believe thy heart, confess with thy mouth, God's gracious come to thee, thou shalt be saved. That's all it takes. That's it. Maybe you've been saved, you've drifted away from God. Maybe you're not where you should be, you've done it all. This morning is a good time to come and make things right with God. Get a fresh, clean start. Why don't you make it this morning? How about it this morning? As we sing this song, God's spoken to you. I'd like to hear this song.